Once again, let's head out to the Corky's hotline. He's the Raider Insider for Comcast Sports Network in the Bay Area. He's had a ton to run down the last few weeks. Our buddy Scott Bear joins us on the Mighty 1090. Scotty, how are you?
Pretty good. I do think that my hand is kind of forming the shape of my iPhone over the last couple days. It's been busy. It's a good busy, though. I like free agency. I think it's kind of it's always intriguing to see where guys want to go, what their motivations are, and things like that. As always with the Raiders, even when they're bad, they're never dull. So it's always an interesting time of year following the silver and black.
All right, let's get the stadium issue out of the way right from the get-go. What are you hearing up there? I know they signed last week a contract extension with O.co to stay there, correct me if I'm wrong, through the 2016 season?
No, it's only through the 2015 season. The way that it was written said 2015/16 season, and I think that just means that
that
like maybe the last game is technically played in early January. But, yeah, so they're going to be, in essence, a free agent heading into 2016, which, you know, as you guys in San Diego know, seems to be the, deadline for the possibility of going to Carson. And I'm sure that you guys have heard Mark Davis spoke to a Tim Kawakami of the San Jose Mercury News and just about how intriguing that Carson prospect is. It's a very real possibility without a lot of tangible progress up here in terms of building a new stadium in City of Oakland on the Coliseum site without getting into too many details. They just aren't far enough along, and there is one main developer that believes he has a stadium proposal that would cost the public about $250 to $300 million on an approximately $1 billion stadium for infrastructure, and for a city of Oakland that has a lot of other things to take care of. In addition to about $100 million in debt from Mount Davis when they brought him back from Los Angeles, that's going to be a tough sell.
Scott Bear, our guest here on the Mighty 1090. What happens if Stan Kroenke ends up starting building that stadium in Inglewood in December? What's that do to the Raiders and the Chargers, for that matter?
You know, I think it messes with the Chargers a lot more than the Oakland Raiders. And, Coach, I think the Oakland Raiders, in terms of going to Los Angeles, are just fine being the silver medalist. As a matter of fact, I think they'd rather finish second and kind of ride some coattails either into Carson or into Inglewood if things continue down their current course here in Oakland, which isn't enough cause for optimism despite the fact that there are some people working very hard to keep them in the East Bay. Now, this alliance with the Chargers, while the San Diego Chargers have been working on this Carson site for approximately 10 months now, the Oakland Raiders got brought in about 6 weeks ago, maybe seven or eight now. So they're a lot less invested in it. And really, Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, doesn't have the liquid cash to be able to go all in and put forth a large sum for a privately financed stadium or even one that needs to be shared with the public. He said that he can put up $500 million, and that includes funding from the NFL from their G8 fund. So that's not very much, and that's not something where you're going to be able to get a stadium done in Oakland or Los Angeles or anything else, and they don't have Goldman Sachs backing them up here. So I would think that if the Rams gain some traction and start pushing forward, and all of a sudden that Carson deal either falls off the rails or they get something done in San Diego, I don't see any reason why Mark Davis wouldn't, you know, switch tracks and hop on the best possibility for him to get into a stadium where he can have steady revenue streams that he just doesn't have here in the East Bay, whether that's, Inglewood or Carson. I think he's fine with both. That said, Mark Davis, when he spoke to Tim Kawakami, said he had had no talks with Stan Kroenke about the Inglewood prospect, but just because he hasn't had talks yet doesn't mean that he wouldn't have talks in the future.
Well, no question about that. And those guys just got back from the owners' meeting. I would imagine that Mark Davis was there. We're going to try to reconnect with Scott Bear. That phone breaking up just a little bit. Also want to remind you, Valley View Casino and Hotel wants to send you on the Ultimate Championship Golf Getaway. Check this one out. All you have to do is select the weekly Go for the Green code word and then be at Valley View Casino and Hotel on March 17th to win. This week's code word is Bunker. Go for the Green inside Team 1090 at the mighty1090.com. We're going to get reconnected with Scott Bear. I thought that was interesting what Scotty had to say regarding the situation. If Stan Kroenke were to build the stadium in Inglewood, that the Raiders wouldn't really mind being the silver medalists. They wouldn't mind being a tenant in that stadium in Inglewood. So we're going to try to reconnect with Scott and continue. I want to get into Raiders free agency with him as well, because last couple of days the Raiders have done a lot of things. And, of course, Jack Del Rio getting ready for his first go-round as the head coach of the Raiders. And Reggie McKenzie going to hang on to that job as the general manager. We'll reconnect with Scott Bear right now on the Corky's Hotline. Scott, I wanted to transition over and talk a little bit about Jack Del Rio. And the Raiders have been very, very busy the last couple of days in free agency. But overall, what's it been like with Jack Del Rio at the helm so far?
Jack Del Rio has a ton of respect up here because he's from the East Bay. He grew up going to Raiders games with his father. And this kid, he was a three-sport All-American in baseball, basketball, and football at Hayward High School. So he's kind of like a local legend, and that's going to buy you some street cred, and that's going to buy you some patience from Raiders fans because he has such a strong connection to this neighborhood. Way back in high school, he was all-world up here, and obviously he played baseball and football at the University of Southern California. Heck, he even caught Randy Johnson. So he's always good for some stories, and that definitely helps. In terms of football, I think it's aiding him that he's played at the highest level, and I think players respect that. They respect his vision, and they respect the fact that he took a Jacksonville Jaguars organization that was absolutely nowhere and made it respectable. So I think he definitely has some good things going. He's not going to necessarily wow you with the best quote, just like Mike McCoy won't. In the city of San Diego, but again, I definitely think that it helps that people know him, people trust him up here, and ultimately for the guys the Raiders were able to consider, guys who wanted this job, Jack Del Rio was a pretty good choice.
Scott Bear joining us, Raider Insider for Comcast Sports Network in the Bay Area, joining us on the Corky's Hotline. Were you surprised even a little bit that Maurice Jones-Drew hung it up, considering you know, he didn't do much last year for the Raiders? I know he got hurt and, you know, kind of fell down the depth chart, but his former coach who he had all those great years with in Jacksonville is now the Raiders head coach.
Yeah, and I think that Jones-Drew thought that might buy him some time and maybe some security heading into training camp, but he didn't get it in a conversation with Jack Del Rio. Jack kept saying that Maurice would have to prove that he's still the explosive player that he was back in Florida, and I don't think that's necessarily what Maurice wanted to hear. Physically, I think he believes that he could have played another year, maybe another 2 years, if given the appropriate carries and things like that, because after week one, after he broke his hand, he never really got back into the mix, and I know that was disappointing for him because he's from the East Bay. He played at Concord De La Salle back when they were the almighty Spartans, and one thing that I can tell you is that he didn't want to play anywhere else. He was happy being at home, and I don't think he wanted to go out with a whimper, maybe not making this team out of training camp or something like that. And this really allowed him to bow out with grace and really kind of finish on a relatively high note with the Jacksonville Jaguars and of course his hometown East Bay fans kind of cheering him on the way out.
Okay, what's been the most significant signing in your opinion that the Raiders have made so far?
You know, Coach, I think it's the signings that they haven't made that are significant. Sometimes, PR 101 will always tell you that sometimes you can raise the expectations too high that even if you do well, you still didn't do well enough. And this year with owner Mark Davis having a colorful quote saying he was going to go get that Brinks armored truck and back it up in time for free agency, and with a lot of things that people within the Raiders were talking about getting true A-list free agents with roughly $64 million in cap space, and that just didn't happen. They were in the bidding for defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, who we know signed, in my opinion, a way too big a deal to go to the Miami Dolphins. They weren't willing to go to $116 million with that much guaranteed. But the real heartbreaker was losing out on wide receiver Randall Cobb. Coach, they were devastated. They really thought that they had this guy. They offered more than what the Packers offered, and Randall Cobb still chose to stay in Green Bay. And frankly, for a 24-year-old with another big contract coming out there, I'd want to stay with Aaron Rodgers too. So I think that that's really been the tenor of this free agent process, is not the fact that they were able to bring in middle linebacker Curtis Lofton or Arizona nose tackle Dan Williams, guys like that. It's the fact that they missed out, for lack of a better term, on those two guys. And the latest thing going around, and I have confirmed with one very good league source that what you're seeing nationally, that the Oakland Raiders are interested in signing running back DeMarco Murray, whether they do or not, whether they're being used as a pawn to try to elevate his market value, is to be determined. So even though I talked to six different new signees on conference calls all this afternoon, Coach, all anybody wants to talk about up here in Oakland is who they didn't get and if they have a realistic chance of getting the NFL's reigning rushing champion.
Well, the story coming out tonight, DeMarco Murray apparently is on a plane, and this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, going to Philadelphia to meet with the Eagles, and the Eagles today just signed Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, Coach, this has been a very weird strategy for DeMarco Murray's camp. I'm sure that you've also seen those national reports that DeMarco Murray essentially cold called head coach Chip Kelly and talked to him about possibilities within that offense. I think deep down, and I don't know this from sourcing, but just from what I'm seeing as an observer, I think deep down he probably wants to go back to the Dallas Cowboys, where there's no state tax, where there's a ton of prestige, and pretty close to where he went to college at the University of Oklahoma. There's a lot that goes with running for America's team. Now, whether he's able to get back there at the market rate that he'd like is to be determined, and I think that there is some fear in Oakland that because the Raiders still have so much salary cap space left, that they're being used as a pawn to elevate his market value because the Dallas Cowboys aren't ponying up quite enough. Now, going on this visit to Philadelphia, that should scare the Dallas-Fort Worth area a little bit more, and I think we'll see if it works. I mean, in terms of Philadelphia, if we're talking Chargers for 1 second, Coach, I think, or at least former Chargers, it really creates a logjam. And if I'm Ryan Matthews and they bring in DeMarco Murray and they got to get Darren Sproles touches, I'm like, have I already signed that thing or can I burn it? You know, so it's definitely going to be interesting for the Raiders, for former Charger Ryan Matthews, and obviously Cowboys and Eagles to watch this thing play out over the course of the next 24 to 36 hours.
Scott, what else are the Raiders looking to do? What other areas do they really need to upgrade, you think, to be contender next year?
You know, they need about five wide receivers, Coach, not even just one. And I think, again, that's why they were so disappointed that they didn't get Randall Cobb. And they weren't major players for Jeremy Maclin, and now Torrey Smith, who's a speedster from Baltimore, is going to the San Francisco 49ers, where people from the East Bay can get jealous and watch him, you know, run up and down the field in Santa Clara. So I think the big problem for them is that they look at wide receiver now, especially with Kenny Britt seemingly going back to St. Louis, and they don't see that true impact wide receiver worthy of top dollars. And I think that that's a big problem, because last year, the skill players just weren't good enough, in my opinion, to help a rookie quarterback like Derek Carr develop his passing game. That's why his yards per pass attempt were so low. And if I'm looking at this in terms of the entire offseason, the fact that they haven't gotten a wide receiver yet, really, I think, I wouldn't say it locks them into taking a wideout at number four, but I think that you start looking at Kevin White or Amari Cooper as filling that role. Outside of wideout, I think that they're going to draft another right guard. They need another interior lineman, and they need a 4-3 defensive end. And, Coach, those guys seem so rare nowadays, a 265-pound guy that can get around the edge only inches from that right or left tackle. They need somebody like that, and they need somebody like that pretty bad.
What's going to happen with Darren McFadden? He just not going to come back?
Yeah, it seems like it's finally time for those two guys to part ways. And I know that's going to be tough for Darren McFadden because he really did enjoy being a Raider. And I think that he felt beholden by the giant rookie contract that he got that I believe was roughly $50 to $60 million that he got paid all of. And I think he was always disappointed that he wasn't able to get back to those 2010 and 2011 numbers. The Oakland Raiders, in my opinion, are looking to add another piece to Latavius Murray and Roy Helu Jr., who's more of a third down back. And if that's not DeMarco Murray, it could be somebody like C.J. Spiller, somebody like that that they could bring in maybe on a shorter-term contract, and if not via draft. But, yeah, I do believe that Darren McFadden, finally, and oddly, for as off-injured as he was after playing all 16 games last year, has probably seen his last down in silver and black.
Boy, one thing about covering the Raiders, you don't have to hunt for stories every day.
No, it's never a dull moment, whether it's free agency or coach or stadium or anything in between. They're always interesting and at sometimes maddening for their fan base, which may be good for listeners down there. So it's going to be interesting to see how this DeMarco Murray thing plays out. The one thing that I do like about what they've done in free agency is, yeah, they didn't get those A-list guys that maybe they wanted. Maybe they had the money and could afford, but they didn't blow up their plan and just start throwing money at guys that didn't really deserve it. And I think that that says a lot about what they're trying to do. They're adding people that fit their system because they're going up-tempo. They're going no fullback. They're adding some versatile tight ends. And if they get a defense in a personnel package that is advantageous to the Raiders, they're going to run and gun and wear them out. That's going to be their strategy. And I think it will make for a more entertaining brand of football, assuming they can move the chains, because, Coach, as you well know, the downside of an up-tempo offense is that if you go three and out, it happens in about 45 seconds.
That's exactly right, and you put that poor defense out there in dire straits. Hey, Scotty, great stuff, and we'll look forward to catching up with you here before too long. There's always a great story coming out of Oakland, and now over there in San Francisco on the other side of the bay, they got all kinds of problems right now as well.
Yeah, it's really sort of interesting. I was in the office yesterday while my 49ers cohort, Matt Maiocco, was trying to write about the fullback getting arrested and Patrick Willis retiring. And he asked me, hey, Scott, when was the last time that a Raider got arrested? And I immediately knocked on wood and said that some guy who isn't with the team got in a fight at a bar in Hawaii in July of 2013. So I've been on kind of a nice little run of not having to call my police public information officer, and that's always a good thing.
Great stuff. Hey, Scotty, be well. Hope everything's well with the family, and talk to you soon.
Of course, Coach. Thank you very much for the time.
There you go. Scott Bear, a great guy, Raider insider for Comcast Sports Network Bay Area.